For those of you who are paying attention, we're still in 1 Corinthians. Remember the last time that I taught was we looked at the three aspects of being sanctified in Christ Jesus. So we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And at this letter that is written to the Corinthians is quite unique. It's like, how can I say it? It's like the Corinthian church got a double blast of grace from God. At least that's what I've, so far, the studies that I've been into already and have read in the past. But as we look at this next part here about the expression of thanks from Paul to the Corinthian church, so we're going to go through that and see Paul's encouragement also. So the title of this is God's Abundant Grace and Paul's Encouragement. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks tonight, Father, for what we are about to receive. We thank you, Lord. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for your powerful grace, how it's changed each and every of our lives, Father, how it has brought us together as the body of Christ, and you have made us complete in you, Lord. As we read tonight, Father, these things that are written to the Corinthian church, may our eyes and our hearts be open to your truth and your wonderful blessings, Lord. So this we pray in Jesus' name. So like I said, last time we looked at the three aspects of being sanctified in Christ Jesus. That was verses 1 through 3 in that. So we're going to start, before we start in 1 Corinthians, go ahead and turn over to Romans 5, 20 and 21. Most of you know these by heart. My version says, the law came in so that the transgression would increase. For where sin increased, grace abound all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So knowing that, let's go ahead and turn back to 1 Corinthians. And let's just look at some demographics at the time that Paul was visiting the Corinthians. It's also written in the first part of Corinthians there, the introduction in your Bible. So some of this is already written down, but I have gotten a little bit more. We know that during Paul's visit, Corinth is a seaport in Greece, and it lies between the Aegean and Adriatic seas. And it became a very wealthy commercial center because of the avoidance of the trip around the southern tip of Greece. There's certain times of the season when these trade ships would go through, the weather was so bad around the southern part of Greece that they would actually be blown into this port at Corinth. So this is how they became so wealthy. And it became a time when the captains of these trade ships, they would just avoid that part of Greece and just go into the port in Corinth. So they would avoid that. Now, one of the things that was found, archaeologists have found, is a large theater-type, coliseum-type arena there, which was said it was second to Rome. So this is how big this was, and it could seat at least 20,000 people. And not only that, the population was made up of Greeks, Romans, and Oriental. The Temple of Aphrodite was there also. And it boasted 1,000 prostitutes. Now this was, at the time that Paul would visit. Also, archaeologists have found numerous taverns, drinking places, gambling halls, everything like that. And Corinth finally, it started to be known as everything sinful. That's how it was known when Paul was visited there. And we also today have a city in the United States that's known as Sin City. You guys remember which one that is? Las Vegas. Yeah. But God's grace is abundant there also. I believe we have a church. Calvary Chapel has a church in Las Vegas. So, a large church too. Yeah, three of them, so. So God's grace is very abundant right there too. So anyway, just to just to give us an idea about what was taking place at the time of Paul's visit. So let's go ahead and start at verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. So if you notice right off the bat, Paul is glorifying God, is giving the glory to God right off the bat. It was him because of him the grace was given to Corinth, that it was given in Christ Jesus. And when you read Christ Jesus, he's speaking of Jesus with all power. Not while he was on the earth, it was already given. Okay? It's speaking of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, Christ Jesus. And other times you'll read Jesus Christ, it's referring to him as the man, Jesus Christ. As we read this, we'll see these things take place. So in the first part of this letter, we see Paul giving glory to God. Okay? And for what reason? It was for his grace, which is founded in who? Christ Jesus. Yeah, in Christ Jesus, founded in Christ Jesus. Remember John 3:16 and 17? You know those by heart? Let's go ahead and turn over there and read that. John 3:16 and 17. If you're there, go ahead and read it. Through him. It was through him. And that's why this abundant grace was poured out here at Corinth. It was in Christ Jesus, this grace. So if you look at verse 5, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. So grace that is in Christ Jesus caused the Corinthians to be what? This grace caused them to what? Go ahead and say it. Enriched. Yeah, enriched. In all what? Speech and knowledge, and all knowledge. So that's pretty powerful if you really think about it. And this happens to every born-again believer. This enrichment starts at that time. It started in our lives when we were first born again. We were enriched in speech and in knowledge. Now, I still stammer and stutter. but that doesn't count. It's talking about spiritual, okay, spiritual enrichment. Spiritual enrichment is what he's talking about. And that happened to each and every one of us. Amen. And we who teach, I can tell you right now, we thank God that you are filled with all knowledge in Christ Jesus. So we do thank God on behalf of you, because somebody did it for us when we were first born again. Go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians 8:8-7. And let's look at this is part of it. 8:7. But just as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all earnest, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. And that work is what? What is that work? We have to abound in this work. So, in verse 5, it says that in everything, you were enriched in him. And that everything covers everything that is written from Genesis to Revelation. This knowledge is increasing in us, and it's changing us every day because of the things that we can actually see those changes coming about. And that should be an encouragement to each and every one of us that we can look forward to that knowledge of him, and that knowledge of heaven, that knowledge of all spiritual wisdom and understanding, it's going on in us. Okay? It doesn't happen immediately. It's part of our growth process, our spiritual growth process. So that's still taking place. Even though I see myself stuttering and stammering and standing up here and being nervous and everything like that, that's the flesh. The flesh does not want to be up here. It doesn't want to be up here looking at your eyes and you're looking at me. I don't like that at all.
Same to you.
Yeah. But because of the love of Jesus Christ in my heart and my love for him, I want to do it. I mean, I can deny, I can say no when I'm asked to do it. I can say that, but I don't want to. I want to be part of the body of Christ. I desire to be part of the body of Christ. And if this is what it takes to be part of it, to be enriched in it, then I want to be part of that. And I could care less what this body's standing here doing right now. I wish you were in this flesh, so you can understand what I'm going through. So I'm sure that the rest of you who teach too, you sometimes have problems with this, with the flesh, especially when you're sitting down and you're studying and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to put all this together and everything, and you start to question, you know, is this right? Is this wrong? What am I supposed to do? You know, and so you're relying upon Him more and more. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants us to be doing, is to rely upon Him. I think it's written in the Psalm, "Be still and know that I'm God." Yeah. That has a lot to say for itself. Sure does. So, Lord, teach me to be still. So look at verse 6. "Even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, this abundant grace also confirms that the truth about Christ was confirmed in" who? Us. Yeah, this was confirmed in us. Yeah. And this is, you know, it's easy to read in the Gospels and see Jesus' life even before He was baptized, how much of a human He was and is when he returns. He's going to come back in the flesh, but we know it's going to be glorified. But you can see that when you look in the Gospels, when you read that, you see a man doing these things. And then when he's baptized, he receives the Holy Spirit, which I think at that time, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't one translation says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I would dwell," speaking of the Christ? Well, please, but one translation says, "In whom I will dwell." There's a translation that says, I believe there is, yeah. I seem to remember reading it, and I'll find that translation. It's in one of the interpretations, yeah. "This is my beloved Son in whom I will dwell." Okay. No, yeah, there you go. Zane Grey, huh? But I do remember reading one of the translations that said that, yeah. Yeah. That's above me. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. The Message Bible. Okay. Okay. So anyway, the truth about the Christ is confirmed in us. So, you know, we can't say the devil made me do it. That's just flat eliminated from our life, from our vocabulary, because he's confirmed in our lives. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. I'll find you in a minute here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. "For there's one God." Okay. "One mediator also, God, the man. The man, Christ Jesus." So there's that confirmation. Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. The testimony at the proper time. And we all fell into that proper time, that day when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That day was created for you, that very day, if you can think of it that way. And what a blessing, what a wonderful change in life that we all had when that time came. A beautiful day, a day to be remembered. Okay, verse 7, "So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." There again, we know that this letter that was written to the Corinthians was answers to what the Corinthians were asking Paul. How do we stop this from happening? How do we do this? How do we do that? And what we're going to see later on, when we get into Corinthians, so we're going to see how Paul addressed each and every issue. And then the very first one right off the bat was division in the church. So Paul, right here, He says, so that you are not lacking any gift. It seems like when there's a problem in the church, it seems like there's a lack of gifts, but the gifts are already, they're there. They're established. But for some reason, it takes a little time for the individual to receive the urging of the Holy Spirit and to get you into the right place where you need to be in the body of Christ. I'll give you a little keyed on how to do it. Go before the Lord. Ask Him straight out, Lord, where do you want me here? Where I am right now, where I'm serving right now. Ask Him straight out, where do you want me? It's like I've told the class that I'm teaching, the New Beginners class, I'm not a teacher. For as far as I'm concerned, I've never wanted to be a teacher. But yet here I am. And it wasn't my doing at all. In fact, I was a high school dropout, if you want to look at it that way, if you only want to look at it in the flesh. But yet it was Jesus, it was Christ in me that caused this change. It put the desire, the want to in there. It's not because I have to, it's because I want to. And I could care less if this body just fell over and died. At least I'm part of the body of Christ. And that's the way I look at it. And that's where I want to be. And I pray that every one of you would desire that most of all. Like one popular song says that, this is where I've always wanted to be. Speaking of its Christianity. And I think the name of the song was Dependent. Yeah, Dependent on You. Mm-hmm. We all have gifts, each and every one of us, whether we know it or not. If you belong to God, in Jesus Christ, the gifts are there. They're there. And we all have physical gifts too. The abilities to do things with our own flesh. Use those in the body of Christ. Be part of it. Be part of it. But spiritual gifts, we'll learn later on as we get into more in this Corinthians. Okay? And this is what it's producing in us. We're not lacking any spiritual gifts, so we're awaiting that eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're just waiting for Him to return. And that develops a spiritual steadfastness in our lives. It makes no difference what comes against us from the world. My eagerness still remains that I'm going to see Jesus face to face. That never changes. That hope never changes. And it, like I said, nothing can change that. And that's what this eagerness is talking about here, awaiting eagerly for Him. And that desire to see Him face to face. And like I said, there's nothing in this world can change that. Can change that. Sure. We know that the scriptures tell us, even Jesus prayed to God to keep us from the evil one. We know that the evil one's there, he's going to come against us, but he's going to keep us from him. See, that's what he, and that's it. You can read that over in Second Thessalonians 3:3. And Jesus also prayed that in John 17, was it? 15, somewhere 15, 16, or 17. So anyway, in Second Thessalonians 3:3, we read this. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. See, so it makes no difference what we go through. That eager waiting is still going to be there. He's going to keep us from the evil one. Give us that way out, always. Our enemy has a job, and we know what it is. And like I said, nothing can separate us from him. Nothing. Okay, so we're waiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 8. And this is so wonderful. I hope that you guys get all excited about this. Who will also what? Confirm you to the end. How? Blameless. You say blameless? Huh? Yeah. Free from all blame. Mm-hmm. In the day of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ. So that day. This is preservative that has taken place in our life. And this is the way I look at it. It's preserving us now while we're here on the earth. This love that Jesus had for us and our Heavenly Father has for us. what we read in John 3:16 and 17. This love is preserving us right now while we're here on this earth, waiting for His return. Once that happens, we're going to be presented to the to our Heavenly Father blameless. And this is because of what Jesus has done in our lives. This is who the Christ is. This is what He's done in our life now. Not somewhere down the road, but now. And it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. There's no loopholes. None whatsoever. So rest assured, you're being preserved, okay, in Christ Jesus. And then finally, verse 9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There He's speaking again. You see how it switched from Christ Jesus to Jesus Christ? Is speaking of Jesus in the flesh. Okay, this is the way this is being presented. So we've been called into fellowship with Jesus in the flesh because, to be in fellowship with Christ would be that that spiritual fellowship that we're not fully there yet. That's why Jesus is coming back to fulfill that in our lives. Now, again, correct me if I'm wrong in that, but this is what's taking place. So we don't have the full knowledge yet of Christ. But when Jesus comes and takes us, when we meet Him in the air, then that full knowledge comes on who He is. Then we will be in Christ Jesus. Fellowship with Him. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. It's all referring to Him, but in this situation, when Jesus comes, He's coming as the Son. It's speaking of His Son, Jesus, okay, the man. That's the way He's returning, even though He's in His glorified body and He's returning. We don't have that body yet, but once we are taken up with Him, then we will have that body, the same fellowship as in Him, as Christ Jesus. That's the way I see the difference of that. Now, I'm not trying to cause any, to confuse you or to make a division or anything like that. I'm just the anointed one. Christ is the anointed one, right? But here in this, we see that it's in fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, which it is, because we're still here on this earth, and He's coming to take us from this. So we have fellowship with Him. And that fellowship is complete. It's not like hi, how are you doing type fellowship. It's a fellowship where you and Jesus can go fishing. You and Jesus can ride a quad. You and Jesus can shoot a gun. You know, this is the type of fellowship that we're talking about here. It's not hit and miss. It's not hi, how are you, that type of fellowship. When we're that close and that tight with our Lord, then we can kid around with Him, you know, give Him a little nudge. He can give us a little nudge, you know. Oh, I don't know about you, but I've laughed with Him a few times, especially at my own frailty, and actually got to see Him change things right before my eyes. It's pretty incredible, and it's going on now. This fellowship is going on now. That's why we can have this love for one another, this same love, this same fellowship we can have for one another. Apart from that, do you remember how you were apart from Jesus Christ? Had want nothing to do with them Jesus freaks, nothing. And now I am one, so you know. But this is how it was, you know. But now we have that beautiful, wonderful fellowship. That is, it's real. That's all I can say. And it's now. And it's just like I said, it makes no difference what we do. Jesus will do the same things. And we can do the same things He's done too, because He's asked us to do that. See, that's what fellowship is all about, becoming one together. And that's what this part of the body of the Christ is. We're slowly becoming one. Even though there is some divisions going on, that's going to take place in every church. But the Lord knows how to correct each and every one of that. When we can get to the point where our mind is the same as His, that changed mine, and it's more spiritual than it is fleshly, then that's how we can overcome all these diversities that take place in this part of his body. And it makes no difference what it is. Okay? He will show us how to do it. He will correct it. And some people will get hurt in the process. That's going to take place. It has already taken place, as you guys well know. And it's only because of that division of, I don't think that that's what he said, or that's what he meant, or and when we have it written right out in front of us. And that's what happens. I don't think. And that's how it starts. Say it again.
Interpretation.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. So as Romans 12 says, 1 and 2. Nope, I'm sorry. Yeah, 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So that perfection is taking place. I want to encourage you guys, stay in the Word. Okay? Always find the truth first before you make a decision. Find it out first. Ask the Lord. He's more than willing to share it with you. He's more than willing to let you know. We already have, you know, the knowledge has already started in our life, the spiritual knowledge. So just ask. It's that simple. And a lot of us make it difficult. I remember when I first became a son of God, how I thought that this was so hard, that just to pick up my Bible to read it, and to make myself do it, because my flesh never wanted to do it anyway. It wanted to be out there having fun all the time, doing this, doing that, going there, going here. It was ridiculous. So it took a while, as you guys knew that. You probably went through that same process. It didn't happen instantly. It takes time. So that's the study for tonight, but I want to give you some encouragement for practice. As Paul sort of did in this expression of thanks that he gave the Corinthian church, how he encouraged them. Now, just think about it. If you're reading this for the first time, okay, you're reading this part of the letter, and you read this, what God has done for you, wouldn't you be encouraged? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's powerful what's taking place here in just these few words, what's going on with what Paul's doing with the Corinthian church. What he's doing is just encouraging them. And that's where I want to leave off. And I call this encouragement for practice. 1 Peter 4:9. Let's start with this one. There's a lot of them in here. 1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable to one another without what? Yeah, mine says complaint. Grudging. Yeah. Yeah. And also Philippians 2:14-15. Honey, will you read that? Amen. Did you catch all that? Philippians 2:14-15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing is what my version says. And what happens when we do that? He tells us the spiritual blessing that comes when we do that in verse 15. He says that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as light in the world. That's the benefit of not complaining, not having grudges. That's the promise from that practice. Any comments or any questions? I think Bob's going to be teaching on Saturday. What was the subject again? I forgot. I knew it at once. Discernment? Yeah, it's going to be on discernment. So if you guys are available for Saturday, come and listen to this. Discernment is something that the Lord that we need to train ourselves to understand.